We gather today to praise your name and welcome you into our time of worship, to sing your praises, O God, is pleasant indeed. To see and hear each other joined in common faith and trust in you strengthens our commitment to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray these words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Excellent.
At this time, I'd like to ask Joe Brigham for a stewardship moment.
Good morning, everyone. I would just like to say a few words on the finances of the church. As everyone knows, we're dealing with difficult times. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Good. We have been losing some revenue from not being able to hold a rummage sale and not being able to probably do the yard sale. We're also losing some revenue in April from the daycare, because the daycare is not in business. So we've allowed them not to pay the month's rent in April. And who knows about what's going to happen in May. So we've lost quite a bit of revenue. So one of the things we'd like to ask is everybody could send in their pledges by mail to the church, and that quite a few people do that already. Also, we know that a lot of people aren't working, and if they can't send in their pledge because of financial hardships at home, we'd also like to know if you would send a note in saying that you won't be able to make that pledge this month. That will allow us to better plan for future. And on the flip side, I know a lot of us are still working, we're working from home, and we're kind of saving money because we're not spending it going anywhere, going out to dinner, saving money on travel. So if you've got some extra money, we can always use a little extra money. I know I'm going to send in an extra pledge this month. I'm going to send in a double pledge this month. So if you are able and you have the finances to do that, we'd very much appreciate it, because we are going to be in a bind come probably June, July, if this thing drags out quite a bit. So we will keep everybody appraised on our financial situation. and going forward, if you could let us know if you have a financial issue, we may be able to help. And it would help us to know that what money's coming in and what money we're going to get. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. And Martha McCatton, I believe, has a mission moment.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Our Lenten collection of food is obviously not going the way we planned it to. If you are one of the people who has already delivered to Lenore's Pantry, the mission committee thanks you, and Lenore's Pantry does too, I'm sure. These are the facts about leaving food there. The town hall is closed, but it's manned. There are people in there. There's a bucket outside the door, and you can leave it labeled Lenore's Pantry in the back door by the parking lot. You can leave food there. They check it every once in a while. If you would rather let them know that there's food there, you can do that 508-699-0104. That's 699-0104. And if you get there and the bucket is full, or you have more than can fit, call them for that also, and they'll come up and slide something else out for you. They are open Monday to Thursday, 8 to 4. They're not open the extra 2 hours on Thursday. So it's Monday to Thursday, 8 to 4, and Friday, 8 to 12. And they'll appreciate anything that we can give them. So that's it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much, Martha. I appreciate that. Just a few other announcements. As you know, everything at Central Congregational Church and the Christian Education Building has shut down in the way of in-person meetings and so forth. Kathy and I are still in the office Tuesdays and Thursdays to answer the phone and do things that still need to be done for as long as we're able to do that. Someone could not find the meeting this morning, so I want to remind you, you need to save that email in some form that you get. It's going out every Thursday. Kathy sends it out to everyone in the church that we know of that has an email address. It's the same all the time, though, so you could just make a copy, a cut and paste of the way into the meeting, into the worship service, and put that on your desktop in a Word document or whatever. The other way is to go directly to our website, which is attleborofallschurch.com. And right at the top, it talks about online services, and there's a place to click there that will bring you right into the service as well. There is a malicious thing going around called Zoom bombing, and we're going to try to control it by our hosts. And if it really gets to be a problem, we may have to remove that particular link, but we'll see how that goes. Two words from your government today, even though we are supposed to be separate from government. This is still the time of taking the census. So please be aware of the mailing that you got. Go online. It's 2020 census.gov. You can sign up there. It took me all of 5 minutes. And this is very important in terms of the amount of money that the Commonwealth and therefore North Attleboro gets. If you know of families that have children, even if they are just barely born, you need to tell them to include that person on the census, because that is what is going to determine education for 10 years in North Attleboro. So these are important things to remember. I also had a conversation with my tax person yesterday, and she tells me that although the taxes have been pushed to July 15th, you still have to file an extension. So make sure you're filing an extension before April 15th, or get your accountant to file that. She found that in the tax code, and that could be a surprise for a lot of people if they allow their taxes to go until July 15. I think that's all I have for announcements. So
I actually have one, Reverend Carroll.
Okay. Yes.
Just wanted to mention to people that next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then the Thursday after that would be Maundy Thursday, or the celebration of Canterbury. So that service is going to, my intent is to have that service go on as per usual. The time, I think Reverend Carroll and I briefly talked about it. Right now, I think we're sticking with 7:30. 7:30 for that particular service. I have two or three readers already, but if anyone that is on today is interested, that has read before or is interested in reading, it would be online, just like we are now. Fairly simple. We will send you, what you the verse that you need to read in advance, and we will just unmute you, and we will get through that the best we can. I don't think we're going to have anyone shut their lights off in their rooms, but we'll worry about that as the time approaches. So April 9th is the date of that particular service. And anyone that's interested in reading, either contact the church office or me directly, and I will make that arrangement.
Okay, any other announcements? Raise your hand or something.
Oh, one more announcement. I saw Lee Ross. I did see him. See his name on there, and I don't see a microphone, so for once I'm going to get the last word. So go ahead, sorry.
That's okay. So for celebrations today, I would like to celebrate this technology, which we're all getting used to, and it's a way to get together. At least it's a lot better than being isolated away from our church family. And a special thanks to Dave Valerio, our musical director, as well as Wayne and Ashley, who are our co-hosts on this Zoom meeting today. Also, I got an email from Keith, a member of our church who has been working for 3 weeks administering a quarantine camp in Georgia. And he was due back home Friday. I haven't heard if he's made it back or not, but he told me he would be listening in. So if you're home, welcome home, Keith. If you have any other concerns, please email them to me or Wayne, and we'll try to get them into the service the following week. As always, we have a lot of people to pray for. We pray this morning for people who are ill and facing medical issues, including Bud and Carol, Lee, Cher, Chad, Nikolai, Tyler, Jen, and Doris, Ed and Janet, Wade, Steve, and Lee, Brigitte, Marie, and Shirley. We also pray and continue to pray for those who are suffering from the coronavirus. We pray for first responders and all who are working in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect each and every one of us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face this difficult situation together. We pray for Dell and her family on the death of her sister, Elsie. So please join with me now in the pastoral prayer. God of light and truth, you have sent your beloved Son to show us your grace and your will for us. Make our church to be a light and a beacon to our community and to the world. May our light shine before others in our daily living so that they may see our good works and give you the glory. Lead us into the future without fear. Strengthen our church for the days ahead and save us from narrow-minded thinking in both church and state. God of life and health, grant new vigor to the sick and the recovering, new hope to those who are discouraged and depressed, new direction to those who have chosen self-destructive ways of life. Be with all of those working to stem the tide of this terrible virus besieging us. Grant healing and strength, especially to those whose names we mentioned, and listen now to the pleas of our hearts and voices. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God's peace and love descend upon each of us. Amen. Now Wayne is going to read our scripture for the day.
Our scripture lesson for the day is one that should be very familiar to everyone, 23rd Psalm. And Reverend Carol gave me some context that some biblical scholars suggest that King David wrote these words when his kingdom was falling apart because his favorite son, Absalom, was revolting and trying to take control of the city. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please help us in understanding these words.
November 2019, the virus we know as coronavirus or COVID-19 appeared in Wuhan, China. Today, nearly 4 months later, the same virus is affecting people around the world and has now arrived right here in North Attleboro. COVID-19 is on a trajectory that will continue to infect people in 150 different countries for months to come. It's going to affect their health and their finances, and especially their weary spirits. This event, next to September 11th, 2001, may very well be the most devastating world event affecting people around the world, obviously, in the 21st century. It's already being compared to two monumental events of the 20th century. The 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, I heard about that from my parents a lot because my mother was 10 years old when that one hit. And the Spanish flu epidemic that infected 500 million people around the globe killed 50 million people in 1918. And then there was the October 1929 US stock market crash and the following Great Depression that reverberated around the world through the 1930s. And yet then, as now, we know that the human spirit, aided by the Holy Spirit, continues to strive, to hope, and to love. We live in a time when faith is needed now more than ever. Today, it isn't just about COVID-19 that we need to worry about, not just our physical health, but the mental, emotional, and spiritual health of the people in our communities and around the world. We're still on the upswing of this devastating attacker that is trapping us fearfully in some cases in our homes and costing us money and jobs and relationships and a certain future. The longer we remain isolated, the more devastating the effects of the virus will feel. It's normal, however, to feel badly in bad times. We all need reassurance during times of stress and strife. Even as Christians, we need that kind of feeling. This is a time when we not only celebrate our discipleship, but recognize our humanness. It's okay to feel afraid. It's okay to feel worried. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel down. Even people of God, people who know God, who follow Jesus Christ, who feel anchored in their faith, believe in resurrection, need reassurance from God in times of dark valleys. And this certainly is one of those times. Where do we turn to understand where we are going? The French king, Louis XI, was a devout believer in astrology. I don't know how many of you read your what's in the papers about your birth date and so forth. He was deeply impressed when an astrologer foretold that a lady in the court would die in 8 days' time, and she did. Unfortunately for the astrologer, however, King Louis decided that it was really too uncomfortable to have a man like that around who could predict things so accurately. And so he decided he was going to dispose of this astrologer. Louis summoned the man to his apartments, having first told his servants to throw the visitor out of the window when he gave the signal. "You claim to understand astrology and know the fate of others," the king said to the astrologer. "So tell me at once what your fate will be and how long will you have to live?" The astrologer answered very quickly, "I shall die just 3 days before your majesty." And so he allowed the astrologer to live. As Christians, I hope we don't rely on astrology or on political pundits. Our hope is in God and Jesus Christ and the Word of God that goes back over 15 centuries. Scriptures record a human understanding of God reaching out to humanity. And one of the best known portions of that scripture is indeed the 23rd Psalm. The Psalm is most often read at funerals or when people are very mortally ill. And it's comforting. It's a comforting thing. We know the Psalm so well. It's a comforting word. Its comforting elements should not be limited, I would suggest, though, to just those who are dying, but it's really a passage that is applicable to daily living. As Wayne mentioned, some biblical scholars concur that David was the author of this psalm, as well as many of the other psalms. King David, above all, understood the meaning of the phrase, expect the unexpected. He was the youngest son in a farming family. When God called him into service, he was just a child, a shepherd boy. He took on Goliath, you may remember, and he won. He ended up as the wealthy, powerful warrior king who led Judah and Israel and unified those two separate nations. And along the way, he experienced the joy of restoring the Ark of the Covenant to its rightful place and seeing Israel's people overcome their enemies. But he also experienced heartbreak and shame and sin. He experienced a broken family and the death of two of his sons. King David's life contained enough drama to keep a team of soap opera writers busy for years. Yet David could not help but see God's hand guiding and blessing and protecting him along the way. One theme defined David's life from start to finish, an unfailing trust in God's goodness and mercy. And when the mighty and powerful king searched for an appropriate way to describe God's providential care in his life, he called on his treasured memories from his childhood job of tending sheep. The psalm begins with the concept that God is our shepherd. We don't deal much with shepherds today, so we don't really know what that means. But shepherding in King David's day was absolutely the economic backbone of that culture. The shepherd's jobs were to keep the sheep together and to keep them safe. They had a rod, we're told, to fight off the predators of the sheep, and a staff with a crook at the top by which they could pull a straying sheep into the herd. Green pastures and quiet waters are an image of peace and rest. And then we get to that fourth verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. As we view the world from our television sets, as we oversee a global panorama of death and fear, as people rush to the markets for toilet paper and food, some people remain locked inside of our doors for fear of an uncomfortable and an uncontrollable viral invader. We know, and we need to know, that God sees our plight and will be there to lift us from it or provide us peace and comfort through these difficult days. When I was a child, I learned this psalm by heart. I suspect that many of you learned it as well. I don't know where you learned it, but I'll mention my age here. I learned it in public school. I learned it in public school before they added "under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I think some of you remember that and some of you probably don't. But it was the part of our opening exercises every day. We said the 23rd Psalm and then we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. There were two phrases that I really couldn't quite make sense of, and I never dared to ask my teacher what they meant. But the first was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I heard that as a child as saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, but I better not want him." What in the world did that mean? It wasn't until I got somewhat older that I finally understood that what this psalm is saying is, "The Lord is my shepherd," and Wayne, you read it just right because you put that semicolon in there, "I shall not want." It means I shall want for nothing. Now it began to make sense. The other thing that I couldn't quite understand was that second phrase, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Why in the world would I want to be at a banquet with all my enemies around me? I think I'd rather be with my friends. I think I'd rather be with my family. But David again is hearkening back to his days as a shepherd and taking care of his sheep. In the Hebrew culture at that time, it was a nomadic society, and there was an intense law of hospitality. Like a shepherd with the sheep, the host who invited the stranger, the traveler into his hospitality, would protect those guests from the enemy outside the doors. The enemy outside our door is a formidable virus, but I hope that we can all take assurance that God is with us and will protect us from all our enemies. Never has there been a timelier Lenten season, and never have we been able to look to Easter with more understanding, more yearning for God's resurrection power and grace. As Christians, we need to know the force of that grace, the immensity of God's power to change lives and bring joy out of sorrow. Faith in God can reconstitute us in body and in soul. Our trust in the ongoing course of life can be refreshed and renewed. The winds of change will transform the present into a new and more certain future. We will rise again to be a vast and vibrant people, ready for the battles of the world and confident in our ability to live and to flourish. God can revitalize our hope even when it feels like all hope has perished. Only God can resurrect a people from themselves. So we need to awaken, rise up from our own fears and hopeless valleys, proclaim the coming of the Lord and a future of health and happiness and love. For Resurrection Day, called Easter, is just around the corner. Amen. Benediction, you are invited to remain to our virtual coffee hour. So go get a cup of coffee and join us back here if you wish to do so. So now may the peace of Christ be with you and bless you. We ask all this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, Wayne, you